You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and it's our opposition view segment. Arsenal, of course, travelled to Old Trafford looking to win back-to-back games at Old Trafford for the first time since 1979. Wow, sounds like an absolute age ago because it was. I wasn't born anyway. I'm delighted to be joined for this segment by a very special guest, an esteemed colleague, a podcaster, a writer, and a Manchester United expert. Welcome back to the show, Scott Saunders. How are you doing?
That's quite an introduction, Harry. Thank you.
I do try. No, it's great to have you on, mate. And it feels a little bit weird doing this over Zoom because we're normally sitting, you know, a few kind of yards from each other. But yeah, how are you, first of all?
I'm very well. In a football sense, it's different now. It feels a little bit different. I know Ralf Rangnick isn't actually, I don't think he'll be taking charge of this game for United. But the fact that it's a new start and United fans can look forward to some kind of, hopefully, some kind of identity to their play over the next 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it is, whatever Rangnick's kind of role is and how his impact, you know, whichever way you can impact them, it's exciting.
Talk to us a little bit about this appointment, Scott, because I've seen kind of mixed reviews on Ralf Rangnick, not because of what he is as a man and as a football mind, but there are some people out there, you know, non-Man United fans mainly, who feel like, although he's done great things behind the scenes at clubs and has done some fairly good management jobs, that he's not esteemed enough, I guess, to manage a club like Manchester United. What would you say to those people, and what do you expect Ralf Rangnick to bring to the team?
It's expected in a sense, because he's not the most decorated. He hasn't won, I don't think he's won a major league championship. He's not that decorated in the senses of winning loads of trophies at the very top level. This is the biggest job he's ever had. But the criticism is often leveled at United that they don't know what they're doing. And that is reflected on the pitch. Now, it's a six-month term or until the end of the season. And I think personally, that is the least important of the two jobs that he will have over the, I think it's 30 odd months that he's been contracted to United. So, you know, it's a new start in a sense. And I think that's why United fans are excited and why they're getting, you know, they're saying they're excited and they're showing it on social media and this kind of stuff. It's about more than the rest of the season, because you see protests, the protests last season, like, there's frustration with how the Glazers have treated this club for 15 years. And that's not only reflected in the amount of money they've taken out of the club, but the fact that they put Ed Woodward in charge of football affairs. And it seems to me, and this is an optimistic view, I don't know whether it will work out this way, but it seems to me that Ed, who pretty much banked, they were convinced that it would work under Ollie. They were convinced that they had the right time and they were doing the fact to go on themselves in 2 months believing this under the fact attacking.
Sorry, Scott, mate, your signal is just cutting out. I wonder if it's the ear pods that we were talking about before, but it is just cutting
might
out.
Be.
It is just cutting out. Yeah, no worries. Scott will just change that over. Let me say a few hellos in the live chat to some of you joining us at the moment. Let's say a big hello to Tariq, who says self-isolating equals Harry and chill. Thank you, mate. Appreciate that. Big hello to John Daly in the chat. John Daly says, is this chat still open to non-members? Thought it was being locked. So glad I can still chat to you. We're not closing the chat off to non-members. We're closing the chat off to non-subscribers. So if you're not subscribed to the channel, even as a free subscriber, then you won't be able to join the chat moving forward. It's just to stop the spam, because we do get from time to time kind of people popping in dropping a load of kind of links to things that they're promoting and then basically disappearing. John also goes on to say, podcast on time. So Scott and Harry are not the reason the 90 Min show is always late. Yeah, well, we're not, are we, Scott? I think you're back now.
No, we're not. We're not always the reason. There's a variety of reasons. It can be someone different each time, to be fair. How am I sounding now, Harry?
Sorry, yeah, much better. Cool. We're back. Carry on, mate. So you was talking about kind of the miss sort of treatment of the club by the Glazers, and that kind of feeling is something that we're quite familiar with at Arsenal.
Yeah, so I think the main fact is that United fans see this as an appointment in the bigger picture. It's not only to get things right on the pitch for the next 6 months. I think the tactical identity and all the stuff that Ranić could bring, the excitement factor and that kind of stuff, it'd probably take a long time to implement. I don't think there's a lot of United fans out there thinking that, oh, well, we've got a great manager in, we're going to go win the league now, we're going to go challenge for the title. I don't think that's the case at all. The reason why it's exciting from a United fan perspective is because it seems to me, and this is the optimistic view, that Edward Wood and the people who've been running football affairs for 10 years have finally held their hands up and decided, okay, maybe it's time now we take consultancy and advice and the guidance of somebody who has proven over the last, well, throughout his career, that he can get football clubs running correctly from top to bottom.
Yeah, definitely. I heard someone, a Manchester United fan, actually refer to this appointment as Manchester United finally cutting the cord from the Sir Alex Ferguson era. Do you feel like that?
Yeah, actually do. I mean, he's played a big part in managerial appointments over the years. David Moyes, I'm not sure how he felt on Mourinho, but I'm sure that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the fact that he stayed as long as he did was down in part to Ferguson's influence as well. It's really exciting because it just seems like United are going a completely different direction and trying to catch up with the clubs that have done it so right in the last few years. I know Liverpool's board, FSG, their ownership gets criticised, but at least they have put people who know how to run football clubs in important positions, and it's reflected on the pitch. Man City have done that better than anyone, I would probably argue, over the last 10 years. They've got their transfer policy right, all of this kind of stuff. United have lacked identity since Sir Alex Ferguson and David Gill left in 2013, and they've been run by a banker, you know, and this is the big criticism. And there's optimism that that will change. And maybe this move for Ranić means that they'll be going in a different direction and be run more competently. I think competence is one of Ralph's big words. And I think I've used that quite a lot of late as well. So fingers crossed. You'd never know with United, but fingers crossed.
Over the last few weeks, Scott, one of the big debates that Arsenal fans have been having is whether or not Arsene Wenger should come back to the club in some capacity. That was all sparked by some comments that Mikel Arteta made, some comments that Edu has since gone on to make. In your opinion, having kind of lived and breathed it, seen a legendary manager of your club sit kind of in the wings and kind of, you know, or in the background, I guess, and almost shadow over the current manager, do you think that that's something that is a positive or a negative? Is it a bit of both? I'm interested to know your feelings because I'm quite torn on this.
No, I think it weighs a club down personally. I think it's, if anything, Arteta's had his criticism, the way that Arsenal have run the club over the last few years has had its criticism, but I feel like Arsenal are actually on the right path at the moment. They've stuck with, obviously, the personnel has changed at managerial level and above that. And it just seems like now, after Arteta's initial sticky period, that the results and the performances are starting to come. And it would be an odd decision, in a sense, for me to try and veer away from that and hark back to the past. I think you can learn from the past. But to be honest, I think you should just leave it alone. It's a different game today. I don't think we'll see the likes of Wenger and Ferguson, their tenures ever matched, really, maybe in one or two cases. But I think the game is so different now that if you want consultancy, then perhaps that's as far as it should go. I don't really think it should be any more than that, though.
Yeah, I was saying this the other day that my kind of overriding thought was you could learn something from Arsene Wenger. You could benefit from having him around and there to lean on if you feel you need it. as a young manager like Mikel Arteta is, as a relatively inexperienced kind of sporting director that Edu is, then having him around might be great, but it doesn't need to be formalized. You know, it can be he comes to games from time to time, and having that relationship whereby you can pick up the phone and say, Arsene, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I actually think that from Arsene's perspective, where he's clearly committed to FIFA and doing a lot of questionable work there, shall we say, with regards to the potential of changing the World Cup format. But it does feel like it's something that doesn't need to be formalized and something that, you know, could be there to tap into when necessary, but it doesn't really need to be much more than that. It's very difficult for us, Scott, going into this game as Arsenal fans to kind of get a bit of a handle on what we might see from Manchester United tactically, because it's Michael Carrick's, what we think is going to be his last game in charge. I don't expect him to be as defensive as he was at Chelsea, given it's at home. Can you give us any steer or on what you might think Manchester United might line up like?
I think your guess is as good as mine, to be honest. But United are between managers at the moment, obviously with Carrick. The hope was that Ranić would be ready for this game, but obviously it's not. Doesn't seem to be the case. I think you saw perhaps elements of some surprising elements. The front three did try and press at Chelsea at points. They didn't really get it right. I don't think United played that well, and they did end up defending quite deep, and it wasn't great to watch. So you're right. I think the onus will be on United to come out a little bit more. But equally, I think because United are between managers at the moment, they won't want to lose this. It's usually a game against Arsenal should be a must win. But I think in the circumstances, the fact that United have this Arsenal game and Arsenal the one team, I think it's Arsenal and West Ham really, who are around about the box seat for top four at the moment. And I don't really think they can afford to fall any further back. So that might be in their mind, but you could probably see some. Rangnick will, I think I've just seen that he's been at Old Trafford to inspect the facilities today. So I would imagine, even while he's not fully cleared yet, that there would have been some conversations about identity and style. So I would probably think that the 4-3-3 that United did put out at Chelsea might be stuck to. The fact that it was a hard-working midfield in there, maybe it does allow a platform for the likes of Sancho and Rashford, if they're playing well, to express themselves a little bit more. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, that's part of the exciting thing as well. I can't tell you as a United fan what I exactly expect anymore, because United between two managers, nobody really knows which direction Ranić's going to go. So how does Carrick manage that as well? And it's a bit of jeopardy, but it's quite exciting at the same time. So I'm waiting to see how United line up and how they try and plan for this game and the games moving forward too.
It's going to be fascinating indeed. And Mikel Arteta basically alluded to that in his press conference, that it's very difficult to understand tactically what we might come up against when we travel to Old Trafford on Thursday. Just a quick message before we continue on through the podcast. We've got a new sponsor on board. A big hello and a big welcome to the team over at ProPrep. ProPrep is an incredible exclusive offer for our friends at, well, sorry, we've got an exclusive and incredible offer from our friends at ProPrep. This is the perfect study tool for university students undertaking science, technology, engineering, or maths-related modules. It can halve your study time. ProPrep provides bite-sized videos relevant to the module or course, which can be accessed from any device at any time. It's already helped over 500,000 students to pass their exams. They provide customized STEM study tools that match your syllabus. Long lectures are condensed into short and clear video tutorials. And after the videos, you can go through what you've just learned with interactive exercises and practice questions, so you'll be ready. You can even submit questions to the ProPrep professors and receive a video answer within 24 hours. ProPrep have created a special offer just for our listeners. All you need to do is go to their website, proprep.uk/football, for more information. And our listeners can sign up for a free 30-day trial now. No credit card information required. That's proprep.uk/football. ProPrep, the ultimate study tool, and we thank them for their very kind sponsorship. Let's get back to the football talk. One of the big discussions around Man United at the moment, Scott, and we had this discussion on the gas tank earlier on in the week, is around Cristiano Ronaldo. Some have kind of subscribed to the opinion that bringing Cristiano Ronaldo back to the club is a mistake. Others have said that no, actually, it's the rest of the team that needs fixing and sorting. Talk to us a little bit about the Cristiano Ronaldo problem, if you like, because there is something there, isn't there? There's at least a debate.
It's a real 50-50 split, I think, between United fans. I understand both sides of it personally. I sit on the side of if you're... Ollie's rightly been criticised for not, you know, expressing himself tactically well enough and getting his players playing towards an identity. I feel like a manager like Ralf Rangnick should be smart enough to work a player like Ronaldo into the team and work the benefits of him and just get the most out of him in a sense and not have it take away from the overall game plan. I think that's what United are kind of looking for. I'm sure that Ralf Rangnick would have been asked about how he would fit Ronaldo into this team because it is an evident problem at times. The big criticism is, oh, well, Ronaldo doesn't press, does he? And yeah, you could probably argue that. I mean, the statistics certainly back that up. But is there a way that you can just sit Ronaldo on one defender and have the press go on around him just to eliminate one of the options and try and maximise him in an attacking sense? Now, I think that United should have brought him back. I'm sure there's some fans who will say that it was the wrong decision, but I feel like United do need that kind of leadership and that clutch, the ability to deliver in clutch moments. I just think it doesn't have to be Ronaldo only or team only. I think there can be a balance. It's just on a manager like Rangnick now to actually understand how to do that. And I'm quite optimistic. Like 2 weeks ago, if you'd have talked to me, I was, you know, this no optimism in United at all. But I think there's a little bit of difference now. The fact that United have got such a smart tactician in, you know, we don't know what we'll see out of this. So I think I am holding optimism that he'll be able to fix this issue.
I always talk on here about the fact that even if it proves that Mikel Arteta is not the right man to take Arsenal to that next level, doesn't necessarily mean that he's done no good work. You know, he's removed a lot of the dead wood. He's been brave in certain decisions in terms of moving people out that maybe another manager wouldn't have wanted to do or you know, made decisions that potentially rocked the boat. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was a bit of a kind of figure for people to poke fun at. You know, I, you know, had said on the Gas Tank previously, he's a bit of a PE teacher that's just happy to be there. I question whether, you know, the decision to give him the job was the right one. Is that the case, though, with Ollie, that we can look back at his tenure and say there were a lot of mistakes and there were moments where he proved that he was at times out of his depth, but there was a lot of good things he did during that period?
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree with that. You only have to remember back to how divided the club was under Mourinho. I think it was December 2018 when Ollie came in. It was toxic at the time. United, there were real concerns that because Mourinho didn't get the targets that he wanted, that this squad was actually worthy of sitting in sixth place or whatever it was. What I think Ollie has done is, and even in his exit interview, he's been complimentary of the players. Exit interview has obviously been panned. It's another 50-50 thing, isn't it? But I quite liked it. I think he has brought the club back together again. And I only think that the toxicity that came up is because he'd lost the trust of the players tactically. I feel like that was the big issue. There's been spells throughout his tenure where form has been awful. There's been spells where it's been great. And I feel like if you look at the overall picture, the recruitment of, again, some of these are 50-50 splits, but I feel like overall he's done a really good job with making the squad better than, you know, it was when he came in. I think that's an important job. And the fact now that United are underperforming and people are saying this team should be challenging for the title is a reflection on Ollie himself. And the transfer strategy has been criticised over the years. They went full in on Louis van Gaal's players. He sold players that he should never have sold. Mourinho wanted a completely different type of player. And it was just a mix and amalgamation of four different managers and their players. And there was no identity or structure there. I feel like if there is anything that Ollie has done, it's uniform that. And it's a good platform for the next manager to build off. Now, this season, I think they probably acted too late. with pulling the trigger on Ollie. I probably would have done it a few weeks earlier, but it's been done now, and I feel like there is a good blank canvas there. As soon as they can get the morale turned around and the confidence back, I think you'll see a different team.
It's clear that Manchester United, although they've, you know, dipped in form in recent months and have lost a bit of ground on the kind of very top teams, they're still in the hunt for the top four, right? I mean, I still personally make them favourites for the top four. So at least going into the Ranić era, it is, you know, I know he's coming in for the short term, but you're not looking at it and going, well, it's just a case of coasting through the rest of the season. There's still something at stake for United fans. There's still an excitement and there's still something to look forward to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The important thing will be not seeing that gap to the top four go any wider. So I think this game is quite important for that. But United after this game have, I don't think they play a top. I think it's only West Ham out of the top four, top five teams in the league at the moment after this game that United play in the league up until March. So you can, yeah, actually March, I think. So you can look at the run of games.
Who did the fixtures? Fergie again? Is he actually?
Yeah, I know. But United have just gone through a fixture period of Leicester, Liverpool, City, Chelsea, Arsenal. So they do stack up. They play Tottenham in there as well. So I think they've got them all out of the way. But now they are looking at a run of games where, and obviously it's not going to happen this way. They're not going to win 14 games in a row. Like, I can pretty much guarantee that unless some kind of miracle happens. But the fact that they will be able to go into these games now knowing that, oh, we might have some different ideas to break down a deep line defence, which was one of Ollie's major problems. It's not over yet. And I think if Ranić can get his team up to speed as soon as possible, obviously that would be the best thing. It'll be difficult over this period because there's so many games, not a lot of opportunities to train. So there are some concerns. I'm sure there'll be some defeats along the way as well. But I think the important thing for United fans is that they start to see an identity coming into the play. And this is a risky one, but from a business perspective, United absolutely need top four. I don't actually think if United miss top four this season, it's the worst thing in the world. Just because I think the bigger picture is more important at the moment. And the fact that Ranić has been brought in signifies that. So I do think it's another... Now, I think next season, if they can get the right manager in and have a good settled squad, it's not like they're going to go and miss out on a big superstar if they don't get Champions League outside of Erling Haaland, but I don't think they'll get him anyway. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, top four is obviously the aim because the title is gone, but we'll see how it goes. I think the big important thing is performance levels and signs of improvement. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think sometimes as football fans, we can be guilty of overreacting and looking at the short term when actually sometimes you need to go through a bit of pain to get to where you want to get to. Just finally, Scott, to wrap up the episode, and I know you touched on it briefly already, but what is your view on Arsenal at present? It's something I like to do when we get opposition people on, is to get almost an outside view on how Arsenal are progressing under Mikel Arteta, the project, that's the term that people hate me using, but I'm going to use it anyway. What have you made of Arsenal's kind of start to the season, I guess?
Quietly impressed. I mean, we've had conversations about Arsenal being, you know, after the start of the season where they were, I think they were bottom of the league after getting heavily beaten by the likes of Man City. You know, it was always going to be played up as worse than it actually was. And we have this conversation quite frequently. You have to judge Arsenal over the course of, you know, half a season or a season, because they will level up. I think the important thing for Arsenal fans to take perspective of is the fact that they are not there. They are not as good as Chelsea are at Chelsea, Man City and Liverpool. They're just not. They're too early in the project for that. Although I do think that the fact that there is no Europe this season and Arteta he seems to have stumbled onto a settled side. There's a settled back four. I think that's really important. They've stopped conceding goals. If you take out the Liverpool game, you know, they look a lot more solid and harder to beat. It's just about building on top of that now, I think, and just giving Mikel Arteta some time to stamp his authority, bring the young players through and add to it and regenerate the squad. I think he's doing a really good job of it so far. And I don't think, to be honest, that top four is out of the realms of possibility for Arsenal this year. The issue will be if Tottenham can pick up and if United can pick up, because they have in United's case, they have a strong squad, so you'd expect them to do it. But even if top four doesn't come, it's the important thing is to keep perspective on Arsenal and just realise that if they were to get fifth or something like that, it's still building and it's still signs of improvement. And it's not going to just take 6 months and be magically fixed. It's going to take a while because Arsenal and United, there's a lot of parallels there with the managers that they had, the fact that they had a lot of control, the fact that there was a regeneration and rediscovery of who they actually are. And it's a different Arsenal to the one under Arsene Wenger. So it's just understanding that and moving into a new era. So I think, on the whole, I think Arteta's doing a good job.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I think you're absolutely right in that it looks right now like we're in the race for the top four. But I would put that down to Manchester United's miserable start to the season or miserable kind of run in recent months. And for me, although United have left the door slightly open for the top four, it's very easy to kind of get sucked into that and think, yeah, you know, Man United had this awful period in the season. There's no reason now why we shouldn't capitalize and take that. But that for me is getting ahead of ourselves. That for me is not telling the real picture about where Arsenal are at. Forget what everybody else is doing. Look at Arsenal in isolation at the moment. It's very clear to me, for example, that defensively we're a much better outfit. Offensively, there's still a lot of work to be done. You know, there's still a lot of work to be done in certain areas. And that means we shouldn't get carried away. So I agree with you. A top five, top six finish that gets us back into Europe, which had to be the remit at the start of the season, will be a positive. We take it, we move on. Remember, we finished eighth two seasons running. So it would signify progress. And we've got to be fair and realistic about that. Scott, thank you so much, mate. Really, really appreciate having you on. As always, always great to chat to you. Let people know how they can follow you, how they can check out your podcast, which is absolutely smashing it at the moment. Also part of the 90 Min Network. Scott, give us the download.
Sure. So @_ScottSaunders on Twitter is my personal. We've got @PromisedLandMU for the podcast. The Promised Land is something that I host with United fan and journalist Rob Blanchett. We just basically talk once or twice a week about the state of United, what's going on. It's not always in-depth match tactical outlooks, it's that kind of stuff. It's more of a wider view, mixing in a bit of a journalistic approach and the fan point of view as well. It's going quite well. Been doing it since the start of the season, and it's a nice release actually to whine about United. I'm hoping I'm gonna have to stop in the next few weeks because results will pick up. But yeah, it's good fun.
It's great stuff. Make sure you do check it out. Make sure you give Scott a follow on Twitter. Make sure you hit the like on this video if you are watching us via YouTube. If you're listening via audio, please, please do leave us a review. That really, really does help. We're going to be back later on today with another live show where we're going to be talking about the Eddie Nketiah news. We're going to be reflecting on Mikel Arteta's pre-Manchester United press conference, and we'll be taking your questions from the chat box. We'll be back very, very soon with more. Until next time, take care. Stay safe.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.